speaker and a treat. We have with us our brother Daniel Kalik. He's with a ministry called Bless Israel Network. This actually is a media organization that's based in Israel, as I understand it. And the project informs viewers about what Jewish believers are doing to build the kingdom within the nation of Israel. That is in preparation for the return of our Lord Yeshua. And of course, ushering in the Messianic Age. The program focuses upon interviewing leaders in the Messianic congregations and ministries in Israel. It provides the viewers with a first-time video platform, and actually they can see what the voice is of believers in Israel and around the world. Dan, you could explain this better than I can. Would you come, brother, and let's give our brother a hand. And his wife is here. Your Deborah is your name, sister? Yeah. Let's welcome Daniel and Deborah Kalik.
On.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Bill. Okay.
Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, we thank you for our brother and sister, for the mission that you have given them in the land to inform many people there of the Lord, to bring the gospel to the Jewish people that they might come to salvation. So we just ask that you would bless the message and their presentation tonight, that we would learn more about their work and support them in these efforts. And truly it would be honoring to you, Father, that we would see salvation come to our people, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We ask this for your glory and honor in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is it turn? The mic turned on? Can you hear me?
Can you hear
Hello?
Us?
Hello? All those who can't hear, please raise your hand.
Can you hear me too? Okay, good.
All right. Just so you know what we're going to do this evening, we're going to be up here together for a few minutes, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's been happening in Israel of late, especially. And then my wife will sit down, and I'll review our presentation about our ministry. So
you want to start?
Well, how many of you know the President of the United States was in Israel this past week? How many of you know the President of the United States was in Bethlehem and spoke with Mahmoud Abbas? How many of you believe the President of the United States knows exactly what he's doing about Israel and the nations? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Needs to be prayed about very seriously.
Yeah, we have a few concerns. I mean, we're certainly happy that Mrs. Clinton is not the President of the United States. Let's be clear about that, okay?
Amen.
So the concern that we have, and we're just being honest with you, is that there has been some indications that there might be some winds of change going on as far as the Middle East peace process is concerned. And President Trump appears to think that he might be able to achieve the ultimate deal, as he calls it. And there are indications from Mahmoud Abbas that he is ready, willing, and able to do things that he hasn't done in the past. And
which is a repeat, possibly, of what Arafat did with the Camp David talks. In when was that, 19, with when Clinton was president?
Right. In the year 2000, Yasser Arafat was all smiles, made all kinds of promises, and spent weeks and weeks and weeks negotiating under the auspices of President Clinton, and all he could say was no.
Yeah.
No, no, no. Even though he was offered, is what President Clinton said, he couldn't believe how good the deal was that he was offered, and he still said no. And subsequent to that, the same Yasser Arafat was leading President George Bush down the proverbial primrose lane. And then the late Prime Minister Ariel Sharon came to President Bush and showed him documentation of, while he may be smiling in public and indicating that you're going to sign off on peace deals, he was in fact signing off on terrorist actions.
So. And what's different this time, possibly, is the timing and the fact that the last few years, especially, we have heard the Muslim world crying that Jerusalem is going to be the capital of the caliphate. And how many understand what the caliphate is? That's the rebirth of the Ottoman Empire. And the other interesting development is in the last few years that the Sunni Muslims are calling for President Recep Tayyip Erdogan of Turkey to be the head of that caliphate. So contrary to what many people believe, including our president, who called and congratulated him when he recently won sweeping power and control over Turkey. Turkey is not our friend. The people may be, because 80% of them are secular, just like most Americans. And actually 80% of the Jews in Israel are secular. And so we really need to pray that our president sees through all of this. And if this begins to really move with Abbas talking peace and moving forward with it, it could be that things are changing finally for the wind down for the, well, or wind up for the last days. So we really do need to pray. There is a prophecy that seems to suggest that the United States will at first be taken in by the anti-Messiah. And then we'll wake up. So please, let's pray for our president. Let's pray for America. And then we need to pray that Israel stops depending on everybody else, repents, and depends on the God of Israel. So,
I have Jewish friends in California, where we both came from, by the way. San Francisco, of all places, which happens to be ground zero for the left coast. And yes. we abandoned the left coast and went to the Golden Coast, which is, of course, Israel. But there are far too many of our Jewish brethren who seem to think that Israel is too dependent on the United States, and that Israel should just simply do what the United States tells them to do. And what people like that need to know is, from a biblical perspective, from a spiritual perspective, okay, it is the United States who needs Israel. Okay?
Yes,
the United States needs Israel.
The whole world needs Israel.
Right.
They just don't know it.
Especially and including our Christian brethren,
yes,
and the Christian church. Okay? So one interesting note that Devorah was talking about, President Erdogan, the election which took place consolidated his powers. Mm-hmm. Turkey is moving further and further away from democracy, okay? And just yesterday, I believe it was, I saw an article that, by the way, you guys, I'm sure you know that the Muslim Brotherhood was established in 1928 specifically to revive the Ottoman Empire, okay? And just yesterday, Erdogan announced that his party, the AK party, has officially adopted the symbol of the Muslim Brotherhood as the symbol of his party.
What does that tell us? It's kind of obvious. So all this is happening under people's noses because, and there nothing's being said because people don't really understand the dynamics of what's going on in the Muslim world. Another interesting thing that a lot of people do not know is that President Erdogan is not Sunni and he's not Shia. He is Salafi Islam. And that appears to the world to be a very peaceful form of Islam. It is, in fact, the most virulent form of Islam. And it has to be somebody who is neither to unite the Sunnis and the Shias. So it's, I mean, we have to watch Turkey and we have to watch him and we have to pray that people's eyes will be opened if he is the one who will revive this caliphate.
And as Americans who live in a country of individual freedoms and democracy and freedom of expression and freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, I think that you as Americans, and of course we are still American citizens as well, need to keep a close eye on our Muslim friends, if you will, because they do not believe in the same God that we believe in. Yeah. And there are a lot of deceived people who think that Allah and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same.
Yes.
And we know that that is not true. Or if we don't know, we should know that that is not true.
In addition to that, we have 80% of our people in Israel are secular and really have no clue what is happening. And they are of the mindset that if we just educate the Muslims and if we teach them about having a good economy and everything, that they'll catch the vision for democracy. Well, we have to understand that Islam is an entire system. Actually, it's a system, the opposite system of Judaism and, of course, of Messianic Judaism. And there's something else that is, and you all probably realize this, I may not need to say it, but if we think about the fact that what has happened is Israel has not been allowed to destroy the enemy on her shores, and so that enemy has spread out its tentacles to the rest of the world. So because the international community and nations have not allowed Israel to finish the job, either in Gaza or in in the north where Hezbollah is, this is what's happened. The tentacles have left. They're not just in Israel and the Middle East. They're all over the world. So in a sense, we have, reaped what we have sown in the nations. So again, we need to pray that people will recognize what is happening. In Micah 5:5, there is a prophecy, Micah 5, I think it's 5 through 8, there is a prophecy that talks about when the Assyrian invades the land, speaking of the land of Israel, we will raise up 7 shepherds against him and 8 princely men. So it's a repeat. It's the 7 plus an eighth. And of course, the shepherds in biblical prophecy represent probably leaders of nations. And they are, it's this, the 7-headed beast, the 7 shepherds, opposites, and then the eighth would be Israel and the Messiah, and the eighth on the other side would be the anti-Messiah and his coalition. Mm. So we really are starting to see things shaping up. We may still be a long ways away. There seems to be a lot of things that still need to happen in the Islamic world, but we really need to be people of prayer, and because that's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for the voice of Jacob, all those who are grafted into Israel, who are not Jews, and those who are Jews, calling out in one voice, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And of course, it's the Jews who are really in covenant initially with God. Those of us who are not Jewish are grafted in. He's waiting for the Jews in Israel to cry out. So we really need to be on our toes, praying the scriptures over this land, over all nations, and over the nation of Israel. This is my heart cry, that we would get, on our faces, and I'm including fasting, regular fasting also. Hmm.
James 4:4 says, if you wish to be a friend of the world, you have made an enemy of God. Mm-hmm. And there are far too many people in this country and other places, including Europe, that believe we need to be a friend of the world. After the Manchester terrorist attack the other day in the UK, where at least, I think it was 26, 27,
yeah, I don't
28 people
number.
Were killed. There was news media individuals right here in the United States of America saying, we need to shower our Muslim friends with love. That is the answer. That is the answer. We just need to love them. Well, okay, the Bible tells us, Yeshua tells us, love your enemy. We do need to love our enemy, but we don't give him free rein to kill us.
Amen.
Okay? We do not allow that. We do not accept that. So it's important that we believe Americans and everywhere where there is freedom of speech and expression and assembly to watch, be wise as a serpent, okay? You have to, because things are changing. And you see what's going on with the Democrats. They are standing in the way of virtually everything that President Trump is trying to accomplish. So we need to pray for them as well.
And just in closing, before Daniel begins the presentation, I just want to say I don't think it's any accident that this week's Torah portion is Bamidbar, and it is about the tribes assembling themselves and getting ready for war, to take the land of Israel. And every time this parasha comes along, we need to remember that we are not to be passive. We are warriors for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of Israel, which is coming physically to Israel one day, where our Messiah will rule and reign. And those nations that don't submit will be destroyed. So we have to be, though we might not be physically in a physical battle, we really need to be soldiers in the spiritual realm. We really need to be praying and be serious about it. And I would challenge you. I fast and pray one day a week. I'm probably going to move to two because things are starting to get very, very serious. And I want to challenge those of you who don't have illnesses and, can't, fine. I totally understand that. But those of you, this is a discipline that is very important in Judaism and in Messianic Judaism. So I challenge all of us to begin a fasting discipline in our lives. And once a week is a good place to start. And if you can't go completely cold turkey, I know I have to drink water because I get dehydrated, but you can do a Daniel fast to start off with, and just do fruits and vegetables or something. Or start off with one meal or two meals. So there's ways to do it and build up your strength, your muscles, so that you can do this. So I really do want to challenge us. This is extremely important.
Thank you, dear.
Sure. Okay. Let me turn this on.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, there she goes, the best Gentile that I've ever met. I'm very happy to be here again tonight. Thanks to the leadership, Bill and Bert. We understand that he's got some challenges with his wife, so we're certainly keeping him in prayer. We love him very much, and we're very grateful for the opportunity to come back and speak to you folks. I'm sorry that he's not here. Some of you may have been here when we were here last, so you may hear some things this evening that you heard before. And if I may say slicha, if that is the case, which is Hebrew for excuse me. Any Steve Martin fans out there? Okay. So, and for those of you who haven't, hopefully what you'll hear and see tonight will open your eyes and inspire you a little bit. My wife and I made Aliyah in 2011. I, a Jew, she, a Gentile. And miraculously, I, as a believing Jew, and she, as a Gentile, were both awarded full citizenship in Israel. And that is a minor miracle, okay? We had friends praying for us all over for several years that I would not be asked the ultimate question about Yeshua, and I was not asked the ultimate question about Yeshua. And so my wife, she actually became a little bit of a challenge, okay? Because her last name, her mother's maiden name is Wolfson, and in Israel that's a very popular name, and yet on our marriage certificate, it was signed by a pastor, and we were married by a pastor back in California. So we had some explaining to do, and they were concerned whether or not it was a religious wedding. And of course, if it was a religious wedding, it needed to be in a synagogue, it needed to be by a rabbi and everything else. But we managed to explain to her that in the United States, Jews marry non-Jews in civil ceremonies all the time. And so she understood that. And then we had some additional help from some of my mishpacha, which has been in Israel for many, many years. The best friend of my cousin is a Torah teacher to the young men of his community, and he actually went to high school with the representative of the ministry, which was handling our case. He called her up and basically said, they're okay. And in Israel, if you haven't been, it is not what you know, it is who you know. It is really very much exemplified in Israel, much more than the United States. So we became citizens on February 7th of 2011. And once we began sort of surveying the lay of the land, we noticed something kind of unusual. We noticed that there was some Christians who were coming to Israel, blessing Israel, and so on, and we thought that was wonderful. One of the most notable and popular and well-known is a gentleman named Pastor John Hagee from Christians United for Israel, based in San Antonio, Texas, Cornerstone Church. I think they have somewhere along the lines of 2 million members right now. So it is by far the largest Christian Zionist organization anywhere. And they're doing some, I think that's my tallit that's kind of rubbing on this a little bit. Let me see if I can, I'll put it in my pocket. Maybe that might, oh, it's here? Okay, well, where should I, down a little bit? A little bit better? Oh, I got the high sign from Tim. Okay, so, and we think it's wonderful what John Hagee is doing. Don't get us wrong. It's terrific that he is bringing attention to Israel, to the Christian body, that he is blessing the Jewish people in Israel, and he's donated millions of dollars. But there's one thing that we noticed. He only blesses Orthodox Jews. He doesn't go to the Jewish brethren who share Abba, Yeshua, and Scripture. The same Abba, the same Yeshua, and the same Scripture. So we kind of thought that was a little bit strange. You know, why is our Jewish brethren who believe basically the same thing? Now, of course, you know, we have to separate. He may have some personal theological views which don't necessarily align with ours, okay? But they believe in the same God the Father, the same Son, and the same Scripture. So we were wondering and thinking and praying, you know, someone should be raised up to help give a voice to the believing Jewish brethren in Israel, because there isn't one. If you wanted to go on TV or online or what have you and make direct connections with Messianic Jews in Israel or Messianic communities in Israel and find out what they're doing on a day-to-day basis to help build the kingdom, where would you go? It's not to say that there's not a lot of websites and what have you, but is anyone giving a dedicated platform and a collective voice to the Messianic Jews in the land so they can share what they're doing so you guys can hear firsthand how they are building the kingdom in Israel? And we found out that there isn't such a platform. And so God spoke to us, and here comes Bless Israel Network. And that's what we did. We founded Bless Israel Network. We're changing the landscape. It's a media organization. Our program is called Revelation to the Nations. And if I can we hit the play button to give you a little trailer?
Our program will be highlighting the Israeli believers in Jesus, who we call Yeshua, because that's his Hebrew name. Revelation to the Nations will give the Jewish followers of the Messiah a voice out to the world for the very first time.
Terrific. Our program, Revelation to the Nations, will be giving the Jewish believers a voice out to the world for the very first time. That is something that no one else is doing. We were kind of taken back that it isn't, that no one else was doing it. So we prayed about it and prayed about it. And so God called us to do this. So here's the nuts and bolts of what we're doing. We have a number of other little video clips, which we don't really necessarily need to go through, because I'll explain what we're doing and give you some examples. We are meeting with the leaders of Messianic congregations and leaders of Messianic ministries in Israel. And we sit down, we record what they are doing to help build the kingdom. And all of the ones that we interview are doing some form of humanitarian outreach. This is really important. We chose not to interview teachers. Lord knows there's plenty of teachers here, there, everywhere. And each teacher has their own particular interpretation of Scripture, their own particular theology and what have you. And we know that the moment someone starts talking theology, part of the audience is turned off. Some of the audience may be turned on, but part of the audience is turned off. It's a guarantee you're going to lose some of your audience. So we did not want that to happen. So we decided that there were four non-negotiable points that needed to be the cornerstone of anyone we interview. One, Adonai. Two, Yeshua. Three, Israel. Four, the Jewish people. Those are the four non-negotiables. Beyond that, you get into other issues where people have different views. Shabbat, kosher, the feasts, etc., etc. And there's all kinds of different views within the Messianic community. Lots of different opinions, lots of different theologies, which is why the Messianic community is a little messy. Okay? It's a little messy. So we didn't want to go down this road because we felt it was more important to give the Messianic body as a whole in Israel, with their various viewpoints, a direct pipeline out to the world so you could hear firsthand what they are doing and connect with them. So we interview a leader of a particular ministry or a congregation, and he shares what they are doing to help build the kingdom. And if you are touched by what that congregation or ministry is doing to help build the kingdom, then guess what? You are going to have an opportunity to establish a direct connection with them, because we are going to provide their contact information. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples of ministries that we are, in fact, interviewing. This ministry is called Abundant Bread of Salvation. We actually just wrapped this up before we came. This particular program is now available on our website and our YouTube channel. Okay, so what is Abundant Bread of Salvation? They have a weekly soup kitchen. They have a food clothing distribution center, a food distribution center, a furniture distribution center, home visitation for elderly, including Holocaust survivors. And let me stop right there for a moment. How many of you know that there are 200,000 Holocaust survivors in Israel today? Not many of you. Okay, this is a fact. Now that number, unfortunately, is dwindling. Of that 200,000, 1,000 of them are at least 100 years of age. A large portion of them live alone. Their health is frail. They don't get anywhere near the help that they need. And the need is so great, the government is unable to meet the need on its own. That's how great the need is. So this ministry, Abundant Bread of Salvation, is a very special ministry doing wonderful things. They have dinners. I'll show you a photograph of one in a moment. Brian takes them on biblical field trips. Now, for the most part, these are Jews who have not yet found Yeshua. Brian is very straightforward with them. He doesn't pull any punches when they go on biblical field trips. He talks straight from Scripture, from a believer's perspective. Some of these Holocaust survivors have come to accept Yeshua as Mashiach. That is a praise God. That is an amen. And he also provides medical assistance for them. Here's a photograph of the food and clothing distribution center. And here's a photograph of what they actually call a royalty dinner. These Holocaust survivors are literally treated like royalty for an evening. A restaurant is rented out. A full catered meal is brought in. They have entertainment. They have fellowship. There's some teaching. It's absolutely wonderful. He calls them royalty dinners because these people need to be treated like royalty. And for one night when they do this, they are treated like royalty. Their goal is to expand in order to address the overwhelming need of the poverty-stricken, which includes Holocaust survivors. And I'm going to share something else with you, which you may not know. Of that 200,000, 50,000 of them live in poverty. Now, first thing to take into account, the standard of living in Israel is lower than the standard of living in the United States. This is the most blessed country on the planet when it comes to material wealth. We have lived in Israel now for 6 years. The standard of living in Israel is not the same as the United States. So when you live in poverty in Israel, it is a much more challenging situation than living in poverty in the United States. So these poor people have already endured the Holocaust. And now they're in Israel and they're living in poverty, 25% of them. That's not right. That's not right. So Brian's ministry is trying to help deal with that challenge. And here's something else that you may not know. Because the need to help Holocaust survivors is so great, something is happening which never would have happened 10 years ago in Israel. The government is actually quietly partnering with messianic ministries in Israel who are helping to address the needs of the Holocaust survivors. And Brian's ministry is one of those that is partnering with the government. Is that an amen or what? Okay? Because the government realizes that the greater issue supersedes what they may think about Messianic Judaism. So they are saying, okay, fine, we're going to work with you. Now, you won't read about this in any Israeli media outlet. This is something that we happen to know about personally because we live there and we interact with some of the messianic ministries that are partnering with the government to help the Holocaust survivors. Amen to that. So that is Brian. He's the one with the glasses. Okay, in case you didn't notice. Another ministry which we have yet to interview, but we will. Okay, Streams in the Desert. This is run by a wonderful woman named Mariana Goll. Her ministry is helping single mothers with all kinds of issues that they have and helps their children. Financial assistance, a liaison to government programs. And you think it's complicated dealing with the government in the U.S.? Come to Israel. Try to deal with the government in Israel. Okay? So being a liaison is a wonderful blessing for these folks. Okay, this is a prayer-based ministry, and they are helping to serve the needs. They need assistance to serve more, and they're helping with job training, family issues, legal matters, and social integration. It's a wonderful ministry. That's Mariana. One more ministry that we're just tell you about. This is called Geffen. And this is a ministry which is providing a safe place. In essence, it's a daycare center alternative. Daycare in Israel is very expensive. And so what they're doing is they're trying to provide, they are providing, a safe and healthy daycare environment at a much lower cost than the average daycare in Israel. Now, the problem that they face is because they're trying to keep the cost down to the consumer, they're not really able to pay their staff very competitive wages. So their staff turnover is quite high. So their hope and prayer with support is to be able to keep good quality staffers on board to help with the children. And there's a few pictures right there. And of course, that is their goal in order to be able to help do a wonderful job for the children of the families in Israel. That is a deal, second from the right. And I'll skip over this. This is just kind of a summary of things, if you will. We have a Facebook page, okay? If you'd like to like us on Facebook, there we are. We also have a YouTube channel. Now, so far, we've recorded two programs, okay? We got to crawl before we walk, walk before we run. So we've recorded a couple of programs. And I'll share from a very honest perspective. At this point in time, it's important for us to be able to get the kind of support from congregations like this and individuals and what have you, so we can go out and continue to interview as many ministries as possible so you will have the benefit of connecting with them. At this point in time, we're fairly early in the game, okay? Fairly early in the process. So if the Lord has touched your heart about what it is that we are doing, you may feel free to donate, and I'll give you some specifics in a moment. A couple of things to note. We do have envelopes. If you guys are interested in connecting with us, my wife has a whole stack of envelopes over there, which she can pass around. Yes, please, go right ahead. Additionally, if you'd like to keep in touch with us and get updates and so on and so forth, we have a mailing list. So there's a sign-up sheet. If you'd like to connect with us and get our updates and see the videos that we produce and all the other things that we're doing, please go ahead and put your name and email address, and if you want to put your phone number on the sign-up sheet. The most important bit of information on that sign-up sheet is your email address. Pretend that I am just learning English, okay? take an extra moment or two and print as legibly as possible. We have been traveling all over the U.S. I think this is our 13th or 14th state that we've been to so far on this trip. Several people have signed up, and I haven't been able to read their email address. So if you want us to contact you and get our updates, take an extra moment and please print your email address as legibly as possible. It would be wonderful. Put your phone number down if you want, because if we can't read it, we'll call you just to make sure that we know what your email address is. On our YouTube channel, and you can get to our YouTube channel by going to our website, which is blessisraelnetwork.com, and you'll see the Facebook and also the YouTube logo up on top. On our YouTube channel, you'll see several different things. One, you'll see the programs, Revelation to the Nations, that we've recorded so far. My wife is a wonderfully gifted teacher. She goes into Scripture, and she finds nuggets in Scripture, and she puts together 15, 20-minute nuggets and records them. And it's called Heartbeat of the Torah. If you notice the logos down there are the little screenshots, okay? You see my ugly mug on the left, okay? Just skip right past that. Then the one on the right is a screenshot from our program. And then you see all those. That's Heartbeat of the Torah. If you are really interested in hearing some incredible stuff, go there and watch my wife teach. There is a Messianic former Orthodox, he actually was raised Orthodox. He's Messianic. His name is Rabbi Yitzhak Shapira. How many of you heard of him? Okay, good friend of ours. Okay, she has been schooled under Rabbi Yitzhak Shapira, and trust me when I tell you this, there's the 3-foot end of the pool, and there's the 10-foot end of the pool. If you want to go to the 10-foot end of the pool, watch her videos. Okay, watch her videos. So those are the three things, for the most part, that are on our YouTube channel. This is Eitan Shishkoff, who is one of the most well-known and respected, I know you know him, okay, well-known and well-respected Messianic leaders in all of Israel. We actually interviewed him, and I'll tell you a little sidebar here. We interviewed him, which was a little contrary to what our overall thrust is. 90% of the ministries and congregations in Israel are small and underfunded and do not have the resources to send their leadership around the world to get support. About 10% are very well funded and they can afford to send their leadership around the world. Eitan is among the 10%. Normally, we wouldn't interview him because we want to give a voice to the 90% that wouldn't have the opportunity to send their leadership around the world. And they're very excited about the fact that we've made this commitment to interview them because they're going to have an opportunity to have their voice heard. But we chose to interview Eitan. Why? Because he's heading up a project called Fields of Wheat, which is a wonderful project which is committed to getting property to have the only dedicated national conference and hospitality center for the Messianic body in Israel. The Messianic body in Israel doesn't have a national conference center. Here in the United States, everywhere you go, there's conference centers. If you're Presbyterian, they got a conference center. If you're Catholic, oy, do they have conference centers. Anyway, they're all over the place. But in Israel, owning property as a Messianic Jew is a challenging prospect. The overwhelming majority of Messianic congregations don't own their property. They rent it. And in most cases, they're renting it from a traditional Jew. We like to call them pre-believing Jews. You get that?
Yeah.
Pre-believing Jews. Okay. Not lost, not unsaved. Those are Christian terminology. Pre-believing Jews. All Israel will be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So there is no national conference and hospitality center for the Messianic body. This is what Eitan is trying to accomplish, so we chose to interview him. Now, if you want to hit the play button, here's a little bit of his reaction about our ministry.
Create this connection with people in the nations, because it's so necessary for people to know us as human beings, and for people to see and feel what's happening here in the land. Because I think there are many people. I think there's a great reservoir of interest in and of desire to be involved with what's happening in Israel, but people just don't know. And so, thank you for giving us a voice.
Thank you, Eitan. So, as we move towards the finishing stretch here, we have some endorsements from some fairly well-known people that you might be aware of, okay? Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, completely support the vision of Bless Israel Network to provide a platform for the leaders of Israeli congregations and ministries to share what they are doing to build the kingdom of God in Israel. Thank you, Jonathan. Rabbi Yitzhak Shapira, Revelation of the Nations is needed in these last days. Daniel and Devorah's vision to connect the voices of authentic Israeli believers to the nations will serve as a great hub for the body of Messiah until all Israel will be saved. Boaz Michael, First Fruits of Zion, a dear friend, we are living at a time when Israel is most often slandered and marginalized. Daniel and Devorah have a vision for the land of Israel and a mission to facilitate the message of Messiah coming forth from Zion. The word must come forth from Zion. I appreciate their heart of service to the community of faith in the land and pray they will have much success in their mission. And on the Christian side, a wonderful lover of Israel, Dr. David Reagan, the president and founder of Lamb and Lion. I praise God for the visionary venture he has placed in the hearts of Daniel and Devorah. It is certainly deserving of widespread support from the Christian community. So, let me ask you, would you be willing to give up a large pizza once a month? Would you be willing to give up a trip to Starbucks 4 or 5 times a month? Would you be willing to give up a pair of movie tickets? Would you be willing to consider sowing $20 a month into the kingdom? We are asking you to prayerfully consider that if you feel what our ministry is doing is worthwhile. We cannot do this alone. We need help from the body in order to do this. Now, we will get to a point with help from individuals and congregations such as yours where we will not need to ask for any support whatsoever. But even today, while we are still seeking and need support from you, if you see a program where we interview a leader of a ministry or a congregation, and you wish to connect with them and bless them, we don't receive a dime of that. That goes directly to them because we provide their contact information. Once you connect with them, it's your relationship between the two of you. We are simply the bridge, the facilitator, the connector. In the meantime, as we move forward, if you wish to help our ministry grow, please pray about sowing in $20 a month if you can, or more. No obligation. If you cannot, God bless you. Either way, this is our website. There's a contact button. There's a donate button. That's what the donate page looks like. We have PayPal. Here is the option where you can choose what amount or a different amount. You can do one time or reoccurring. If you provide the information, they'll take care of it for you automatically every single month. We are part of ACT, which allows us to be a nonprofit. So if you choose to write a check, it should be made out to BIN/ACT. If you write it to Bless Israel Network, that's fine too. It'll still get processed, but this would be the requested way to write it out. That's who we are. Bless Israel Network. We pray you find what we're doing worthy. We thank you for your love, your support, and your prayers. And if anyone didn't get enough or just needs to hear this again, come tomorrow morning. Because we'll talk about it again tomorrow. Sign up sheet? Oh, yeah. You didn't pass it? Oh, I thought I mentioned it. Okay. Devorah's got the sign-up sheet. We'll pass it around. I think praise and worship is coming. So if you have a moment and you want to get on our sign-up list, please feel free to do so. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Shabbat shalom.